Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've already done that, thank you. These ratings help the show get discovered so it can reach a wider audience. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so that you get notified of new episodes as soon as they come out. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, you can visit driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to find other ways of subscribing, including our email list. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everyone. Today, my guest is Carrie Jeter. Carrie is an Army veteran and host of the Freedom Sisters podcast. Carrie is joining us today to talk about the power of sharing your story. So, Carrie, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your background?
Yeah. Hey, thanks, guys. So awesome to be here with you. And a little bit more about me. So like you said, I served in the Army. I did 12 years. I was a combination, I guess, of service, all National Guard, but on orders, dual status technician, deployments, activated all the things from state emergency duties to deployments. And I started out as enlisted and crossed over, did OCS and commissioned in 2009. And then left the Army as a senior captain. I did everything from human resources to public affairs and operations, training, you name it, I probably did it. Weapons qual, range, OIC, and all the things. Go ahead.
Yeah, I always like hearing the story behind, sometimes when people go from enlisted to officer, it's always an interesting transition and an interesting dynamic, because a lot of times the officers are, especially the newer, the junior officers are sort of seen as green, and they don't really maybe know the way things work in the Army and things like that. But then when you have someone who's been enlisted for a period of time beforehand, they've gotten all that new guy or new gal, feeling out of the way, and they hit the ground running, and it's always a different dynamic when you have somebody who was enlisted first.
Yeah, but it's always a weird interaction too, especially when you served with other people and now you outrank them. They still look at you like the private that served under them. So you still have to like prove your capabilities and your leadership in order to like get the buy-in with your people. But I went pretty fast. Like I'm hungry. Like I'm always hungry for like growth and overcoming and achieving. And so I went from E3 to O3 in 6 years. Like that's pretty rapid. And even when I was enlisted, I made it all the way up to sergeant and pinned OCS at this, like about the same time. And so, it was still a rapid experience. But I'm so thankful that I did crossover, because it allowed me to provide for my family in a bigger and better way. It came with a lot of responsibility though. So that was an interesting time for sure. And so in the Army, I was a single mom for 8 years of that career. And I had 3 kids at the time when I was in the Army. And now I'm a mom of 5 and I'm remarried. And my husband is also an Army veteran. He served for 26 years and we're, living the, I'd say slower life, but it hasn't really slowed down, because we have, littles again in the house, and we have a farm, and I'm working full time for a local fire first response district, and, running the podcast and trying to build my next dream of where things are going. And it's all, everything I've ever done, as I've learned through my story, is it's all based on story. It's all sharing information. It's all, bringing people up alongside you by sharing your story, building connection by sharing story. And that's really, in essence, my whole life has been revolved around. And so the next right thing for me was the podcast. And mm-hmm. As we continue to talk, just the other things that have grown out of the podcast, it's just all revolved around story. And that's why I'm here today, is to kind of connect with you and talk about the power of sharing our stories and how important I think it is really for the veteran community to share their real stories and their true selves.
Yeah. And one of that's exactly the reason why I wanted to have you on the show, is because I feel like a lot of times there's going to be people who feel like their story isn't all that significant, and they don't really feel like they need to share their story, or they want to really talk about it, or anything like that. And I don't think that could be further from the truth. And I think, we all have had different experiences, whether it was through a deployment, or even if you've never been deployed, if your National Guard status and you never deployed and you did your 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year, you've still had some experiences, and you've gone through some transitions, you've gone through training and different things like that. And you still have experiences that can be told, and people can learn from those experiences. So you briefly, you mentioned, the podcast, and we talked about that, previously, but what was the motivation behind starting the podcast for you?
So a little bit more about me. I was Miss Veteran America 2015 also. And in that tenor of representing women veterans and getting out and networking and sharing the plight of homeless female veterans, and how we as a community are the fastest growing homeless population in America, was astounding to me. And learning the reasons behind why homelessness affects us and all of that, it just really sparked this deeper conviction in my heart to humanize who we are as women who serve this country. We're not all cookie cutter. We're not just the only three things that, sometimes we get put into a box to being when we're in service. And we're not all nurses, all the things. And it just sparked this passion in me to continue to speak up and be the voice for women who served. And that's one element that's multifaceted. I also wanted a space for women who could come share their stories with the spiritual healing element to it. We have so many resources in the veteran community that help deal with mental illness, that help deal with physical rehabilitation, resources to transition from military to civilian. The list goes on and on and on. But there's really not a whole lot in the space of spiritual healing. And coming, in my opinion, we are multifaceted people. We are physical, mental, and spiritual beings. And when we miss a part of that in our story or in our healing, then we can't completely be healed. And so I wanted to create a platform that was faith-based. Not everyone thinks the same as I do theologically, and that's totally okay. But I want them to come on and talk about their journey and how, they found God, or they found their creator, or they found connection to that source that's within them to heal and to share what they've been through in that safe space. And so that was another part. And then the last part for me too, personally, it's part of my healing journey. I couldn't come on authentically and ask my ladies to come on and share their stories if I wasn't willing to do the same. And so out of a literal dream of, kind of in a slump, if you will, of not a complete breakdown, because I've had a complete breakdown before, but just the longing to want more and know that I'm made for more, but trying to navigate to find that peace. And so I went to bed pretty discouraged that night and just praying, to God, just open my mind, open my heart. How can I serve? Where do you need me? And, my story, I have some trauma. I have some tragedy. I have some heartache in my story, but it's not as bad as some, but mm-hmm. my story still matters. And, mine really has a whole lot of some depression and, overcoming domestic violence and teen pregnancy and all of those things that not all of my guests connect to, but because I'm authentic and I can say, hey, look, I struggled through this, and pull my sisters up and let them have a place to share their story, is really, all in a nutshell, where where it came from and why it's so important and why I know it's the best right thing and so needed is that I haven't had to beg, borrow, steal for anybody to come on the show and share their story. Women are finding me. I'm connecting with them just saying one sentence, like, do you want to share your story? And I've only had one person tell me she was not ready. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. She'll be ready someday. Right. But it's just an overwhelming, everyone's saying yes, and everyone's coming on. And just, it's just such a beautiful thing to see women come on and be their true selves. And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah. And some of the stories that I've had on this podcast were the types of stories that were really eye-opening. And like you were saying, not everybody is going to connect with your particular story because they didn't necessarily go through all of the same experiences that you have. But I think that's part of what makes us unique is we have our own story and our own path that we've gone down. But there might be bits and pieces of your story that somebody else might be able to resonate with and connect with. And hearing your story might be inspiring and uplifting to them. I know I've talked to several people who used to be homeless, and you were talking a little bit about homeless veterans. And these people are thriving now. They have their own businesses and they're doing really well. Their families are great. I've never been homeless, so I can't even imagine what that would be like. But to go from that low point and then figuring out how to get things back on track is, to me, it's pretty amazing. It makes me think that, even on my worst days, the way this inspiration works is that even on my worst days, I still have a roof over my head. And even if I didn't, for some reason, didn't have that roof over my head, I know that there's still hope. Someone else went through this. Someone else struggled. They lost their house for whatever reason. They were kicked out or whatever, and they still made it out okay. It's going to take time. We all go through the suck, if you will. But we all can make it out. Other people talked about how they found meaning in serving other people. I know you're talking about a faith-based, and this one guy in particular that I've had on the show was talking about how he was healed through the service that he did, acts of service that he did through his church, and then going on mission trips to build to build houses and things like that in other countries. You can go from that utterly hopeless feeling and then hearing somebody else's story and how that helped them. And then say, maybe this can work for me. And then all of a sudden you start to have a little bit of hope, and where you're at that low point where maybe you're about to give up, you get a little hope. And so that to me anyways is sort of the power of the sharing a story. What about you? What do you think?
Even thinking back to some military experience, like you're in the suck of basic training or OCS, and you feel like, can I keep doing this? Am I really, what did I sign up for? What am I doing? And then here your drill sergeant comes and tells you this story, and it just lights this fire up again in your belly that you can. So the power of sharing stories and that dialogue is, that you're influencing, you're teaching, you're inspiring. And even at OCS, when I was teaching OCS, it was like, I was sharing story to give them the tools for leadership, and inspiring them to be a better leader by sharing the experiences that we've had. And I just really think, in a bigger picture now, not just directly to our military folks, but when we share our stories, when we share our truth, then we get to share the heavy stuff that's inside us that allows each of us to carry that heavy stuff with each other. And that's really important because, there's a lot of people who suffer in silence in our community because they're scared to say, or they feel like they're only ones that experience it. And there's such freedom when you are able to speak that inner truth to somebody else and make that connection. Now you are stronger. You're not just one strand, you're two, and so on and so forth. That way, that hope can stay alive. And, not everybody's story is the same. Not everybody has those deep, dark places. But what's the gift in your story? And it could be just the fact that there's hope, or that you've done this hard thing, or you've been the first to do that, or it could be a positive thing, right? Like, you've had such a great life. You've been able to, you know, reach high places. Now you want to give back because you have so much abundance. Mm-hmm. That's a great story and a great place to be too. It doesn't always have to be a dark story. No. It definitely is just a way to connect to people. And people to ideas that maybe because they don't have that experience, they now can appreciate a different perspective because you've been able to share something that they've never thought of it that way. So there's so many, like, to me, it's just fascinating that you can, you know, sell products by telling a story. You could share experience by sharing a story. Stories are really just so powerful.
Yeah, they are. And you briefly just said, probably even unconsciously, you just said about selling products. And I know a guy who is an incredibly brilliant marketer. And he talks a lot about the story, telling a story about the products and behind the products that you're selling. And the successful companies that do this well are able to tell a story that connects on a personal level with their target market, the people who want to buy these products. And it's so powerful that it actually gets people to open up their wallets and spend the money on whatever these products are. You know, it's a very powerful thing to do. But on a more personal level, we're talking about sharing stories. And when we do this, I know for me anyways, it's very liberating to be able to just open up and talk about my story. I feel like I am able to get a burden off of my shoulders and just get it out there. And now there might be other people, like I might tell you my story or somebody else my story. And you know, maybe there's something that I'm struggling with and I'm talking to my wife or I'm talking to a friend or something. And then all of a sudden they maybe an idea is sparked in their mind and they help me out with that. So I don't want to say it's a shared burden, but it's a way of kind of carrying that load without being the only one to shoulder it. In a way, for me anyways, I found that to be helpful. Downside to that is a lot of times people feel like they don't want to burden other people with their issues, with their struggles or their sob story. Sometimes they feel like it is, you know, who would you say to someone like that, who is, who doesn't want to be a burden and they clam up because they don't want to, burden other people with their issues or their story, or, you know, even in a positive way, they don't want to be bragging or anything like that. You know, if their story is a positive story or, if it's a negative story, they don't want to feel like it's a burden.
Right. Well, I've got different things coming to mind when you're speaking of that. So it's really, I feel like it's your responsibility to share, and what they do with what they hear is on them. So don't fear by what you have to say, by somebody's reaction. I think that's not the point of sharing a story, right? It's like, I'm going to share this because I need that back. You need to share this because you need to heal. You need to get it out so that you can grow and change and maybe get advice. The other thing to me also is that if there's something in your heart that's saying, share this, share this, share this, don't resist that. That's your like innermost space. And you are being prompted to share that for a reason. Mm-hmm. So share it, because you may, by sharing your whatever it is you're going through, that person you're sharing with may be in a darker, they just may be further down that hole than you are. And by you answering that call that's in your heart to talk about your story in that situation may be life-giving to somebody else. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I know the person that I was talking about earlier, who I've had on the show, who was doing the service missions with this church and things like that, the power of service is incredibly powerful as well. It can bring you up out of these dark places. And if by sharing your story, that's your way of serving others, that could have a dual benefit. You may not even realize it at the time. You might feel ashamed or sad or, you know, miserable about sharing the story at first, but when you see the power that it has on other people and how it can help uplift and bring other people up out of their dark place, it might actually bring you up out of your own dark place as well. And so it kind of, it's not like a counterbalance, like a weight scale type thing where you have one that drops down and the other one lifts up. And I think it's more of an elevator, a dual elevator where they both go up, you know, potentially where, when you're sharing those stories.
Yeah. So, it kind of goes back to that whole question, does my story matter? And if you don't if you don't think your story matters, then you probably aren't going to share. But what if you, so I would answer that question with a bunch of questions. What if you could see that all that you've been through, everything you stood up for, every time you've fallen and rebounded, every curveball that you've been thrown and caught, right? What if you could see every time you were disappointed and didn't stoop to despair? What if every victory, every chance, and appreciate the fact that, you know, you're still here, you're still standing, you're still thriving, and you're still striving for that better life. That means your story matters. Like the whole big picture, take that 35,000 foot view of your life, and this one small feeling or this one moment in time doesn't define the whole story, but it's a part of the story. So you got to just, you have to be brave and you have to be bold to be your true self and to authentically connect to whoever it is you're speaking to. And I think that's the part too, where veteran to veteran, we appreciate each other just on a deeper level because we understand what we've been through. And it's almost like we break an initial barrier by just connecting because we're veterans. So I think that's important. Like find somebody who understands maybe what you've been through to share your story first. Write it down. It doesn't even have to be a beautiful memoir, right? Just even if it's not speaking your story, but writing your story down to expressive writing 20 minutes a day, just to get it out of your head and onto something. Then you can read it later and realize like, oh, there's power in this, and speak it out loud, even to yourself in the mirror. Speaking it, there's something very powerful about speaking words and not just writing them, but you've got to start somewhere. And so if that's in private in a journal, start somewhere, because the longer you hold it in, the harder it is going to be to share.
Yeah, it will be. And I know for myself, I started doing this. So my little bit of my story, if you will, and I've shared this on the podcast before, but so I was in Afghanistan in 2010. My brother also was deployed to Afghanistan at the same time. And he was killed in action. And he was, you know, we were very close. And so that took a tremendous toll on me. And it was a very difficult time for me. But about a year or so after coming back home, I started writing down just notes, just things that I remembered, just journaling, if you want to call it that. I was not really writing it down for any particular reason, but I knew I wanted to do something with this information at some point. I wasn't in a place that I could do it at that point. And so now fast forward about 10 years later or so, I'm in the process of writing a book, and it's going to be coming out hopefully soon. I'm in the process of looking for a publisher, but it's about my story, my military experience, things that happened, you know, after my brother was killed and how I was able to go from the dark place that I was in and the lowest of the lows that I've been in, to a point where I'm happy, I'm successful, my family is thriving, and life is good, you know? And so it's a bit of a military history and a bit of a self-help combination type thing, but I feel like sharing that story, not only does it help me because it's beneficial to write it out and make my story available to other people, but also to share it and hopefully help other people with you know, other issues that they might be going through. You know, their story's not going to match mine exactly, but at some point there might be some little crossover there. So
I think your story, there's a lot of brothers and sisters who'd served, even in my own home, my husband lost a brother. Also, they were both in Iraq serving. and he lost a brother. But I think what you're, by sharing your stories, you're going to help those that are grieving through this process, and maybe be able to pinpoint and identify that it's grief that they're struggling with, or, you know, why they're doing whatever it is they're doing. They haven't really been able to grieve over their loss. And the other thing too, is what I love about, you're probably familiar with Bonnie Carroll from Taps.
Mm-hmm.
I love her, and her thing is like, grief is love, right? But she's all about sharing those stories of the fallen to keep their legacy alive. And so I think that's just another beautiful way for you to share about your brother and to keep his story going, and to just to love on him too. So I think that's really beautiful. I'm proud of you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And so with all that said, so you have an event coming up here, and I'm not sure exactly on the details of it, but you have an event coming up that is basically encouraging people to share their stories, right? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So out of the podcast, I interviewed a fellow veteran, and she has a organization here in Washington State too. And we knew instantly, as like divine alignment, there was going to be something bigger about the two of us meeting. And we are both women who served, and both military spouses, and just women like game changers. I'm not trying to, like, that's not a humble brag, but like, you know, we're wanting to change the game for women to be able to share their emboldened story and to get it out there. We still see like the depravity of women in leadership. We still do the depravity of women on stages. And so we came together with a great collaboration. That's actually, as we're speaking today's everything goes live. So the sales for the event are going live. The website's going live. We're going to go live on Instagram here later today and talk about it in more depth. But basically what it is, again, I'm very creative. And so I get a lot of things when I go to sleep. I pray, I open my mind, and I'm like, hey, give it to me. Show me what it is. And so we were talking about all the names. And so I went to bed that night thinking about names. And so the name of our event is called Shiro Talk. And we want it to highlight women who are Shiros, women who are leading transformation in their industry, making a difference in her community, leading the way in the military, championing change in sports, giving voice to the voiceless, pioneering reform in social justice. We want to give them an opportunity to share their story. They're women that are in homes who are making a difference, to women who are on Capitol Hill making a difference, and everyone in between. And there are so many women who are breaking glass ceilings, who are getting a seat at the table and doing all of that. But there's not a whole lot of like a collaboration. Like, you can get it in like a religious setting where it's a women's retreat, or you can get it in a lean in women's only thing, but they're still just putting everyone in one category. Well, we want our event to reach so many more. And so at this event, of course, COVID hit. And so we're no longer able to really do in person, because our state, we're very slow to transition back to full normal, which is fine. So we've pivoted, and we're like, we're still doing it this year, because 2020, you know, is 100 years of women being able to, for the right to vote, mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. So we want 2020, we felt, was a really big year for us. And so we're going to be doing a virtual live event. And I have 8 fantastic women. We have 3, I think, that are military, but it's diverse. So we have culture representation. We have age. Our oldest speaker, 77. And our youngest speaker is in her late 20s. And so we have just a wide variety, cross-generational women who represent many different things. And the theme this year that we're going with is freedom. So sharing a story about how you have overcome, how you've broken the chains, et cetera. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be not only just an event that's going to be entertaining, but it's also going to spark conversation and ignite change in our world. And really, honestly, with the pandemic, like, I was reflecting on this yesterday, with the pandemic, we don't really, like, I think it's been such a long time for us to realize how much we need each other in such a way that, you know, when you're isolated completely away from everybody else, you realize how you need that connection of community and people. But then on top of it, look at the social injustice that we're seeing. We're at home, we're able to pay attention more, and I'm really actually excited to be able to, hopefully, maybe even internationally, because we've got friends who are in the military stationed overseas, who will come to this event and be able to impact and share what collaboration looks like, what inclusion mm-hmm. looks like, what equality looks like, what a real community of people just loving each other look like and wanting the best for our world. And so at Ashiro Talk, I'm really hopeful for big things. We've got big visions for it. So I'm really, as you could tell, really excited about it.
And was this originally planned on being a in-person event, or was it always going to be a virtual?
It was going to be an in-person event.
Yeah, and the pandemic sort of sidelined those plans. Yeah. We also had an event because this is a 10-year anniversary for my brother's passing. We were planning on getting just family, friends, things like that. We're going to rent out a banquet hall type thing and just mm-hmm. have a kind of celebration type thing. And that we're going to do that around Memorial Day. And that just got put off because of, you know, travel couldn't happen and no one wanted to gather in large groups or whatever. So, mm-hmm. so we're putting that off, but it's, you know, interesting the changes that come out and the resiliency that people have to be able to accommodate for this type of change. You know, you see it happen in schools where, you know, but before this pandemic hit, if you were to just tell teachers, all right, next week, all of your classes have to be online. And they would just look at you and laugh because that's crazy. Why would they change right. with the way they've been doing things for however many years now. But then when you throw in a pandemic into the mix, all of a sudden they figure things out. And it's really great to see how people can come together and work out a problem. And, you know, kind of the way you did with your event, you know, you wanted to have it all in person, but you know, life happens. Here it is. Mm-hmm. You're still going to do it. You didn't let it get you down. It was not the way you were probably originally intended, but it still got you the way you wanted it to, or got you the end result, what you wanted, you know?
Yeah. And it's hopefully, you know, going to still be interactive. It's going to be a live event. Whereas like my co-host and I, Shelley Willis will be live as it's running. We are recording our speeches just because we can't have more than five people together, but you wouldn't know that. You really wouldn't know that by watching what we're going to do. So I have some really good forward thinking. You know, I was media, I was public affairs. And so how to present a package delivery. So I'm hoping mm-hmm. To showcase those kind of skills that I learned in the military by going this route. But even better, like if a Shiro Talk wasn't enough, just like getting a group of women who are very different together to share their story and ignite change. We also, $25 of each ticket that's sold is going back to Final Salute Inc., who provides safe and suitable housing for homeless female veterans. And okay. 70% of homeless female veterans also have kids. So we're not only helping a woman, but we're helping provide shelter and food for a child too. So every ticket will get $25 towards that. So
that's a great organization to be working with and supporting, because you know, there's certainly more that can be done to help out those types of people. So one last question that I have for you is, we're talking about telling stories and the power of telling stories. So if you don't mind sharing, what is your story? What's something about you that you want others to be able to take away and kind of learn from maybe your experiences?
I think if you were to put just one word on my story, I think it would be resilience. And that's, I mean, I came from a pretty impoverished family. My sister, so I have two sisters, older sisters, and we're very, very close. And that's the only people that I've been able to attach myself to until 3 years ago, like, because there was so much trauma and turmoil in my childhood. You know, there was drug abuse, there was physical abuse, there was neglect. There was a lot of moving to evade eviction. We moved quite a bit. My mom was a single mom. She had all three of us before she was 18 years old. My mom and my dad were actually married, but they didn't survive like through the three back-to-back-to-back births of their kids. And just being young and dumb, you know, can't really fault them for that, because it's a heavy responsibility to be married when you're 14. and 18 years old. But, you know, from that, I always just, I lost myself in stories. Like I've loved Helen Keller and Harriet Tubman and Little Women and getting Jane Austen books and just finding extraordinary in my everyday ordinary and knowing I wanted more. And so how can I overcome this? How can I learn from where I'm at right now and be better next time? And so I got involved in sports. How I dealt with trauma was just like diving in and being well-educated, being the best at sports, being the best at playing a musical instrument and just striving to not repeat the cycle. But I repeated it, right? I was a statistic too. I became a mom at 15 and a half. I got pregnant. Even though I was captain of the basketball team, captain of the volleyball team, on honors choir, honor orchestra, straight A student, presidential honors, like all the things. And I still became a statistic. And I did get married, which was kind of funny because my mom literally had to sign a permission slip for me to get married. It's also not like just my high school sweetheart. There's not one person in my high school building that you could say that I had slept with, because I didn't. He was seven and a half years older than I was at 15 and a half. So put do the math. It wasn't a healthy situation to be in, but at the time, you know, I didn't know any better. I was longing for that love that I didn't have as a child. And so sequentially, I continued that ugly pattern for, I don't know, probably 13 years or so, till probably about 28, when I realized more of my worth as a person and who I was. But I did. I've been married multiple times. I have five kids now. I've been married multiple times. I left one controlling relationship at the age of 20 and got married 2 months and 22 days of knowing this other guy who ended up being physically abusive, alcoholic, all kinds of just ugly things. I have a beautiful daughter from that relationship. So I'm so thankful for her life that she's here and our connection that I have. But, you know, it didn't stop there. Like we even recently had to go back to court to protect my daughter because like he's never dealt with any of his stuff. And so he's just continued to get worse and worse and worse and do worse things to people. And so, you know, I had to step in and protect her. But then I found the Army. So I knew, so at 21 years old, I got a job. I walked in as a civilian in a business suit to a military board, because I wanted to be the hero of my own story. I didn't want to be defined by the tragedy that I had already experienced to that point. And so then I served and I learned a lot. I figured out who I was. I found Jesus in that. I found hitting rock bottom professionally and personally. The same time I commissioned, I finally walked out of that domestic violence relationship. And so I was, you know, I lost everything. I lost my home. I lost the position I was supposed to get. This was Carrie's plan when she commissioned. And they showed up at my OCS graduation saying, do you want to deploy? And you're moving. I had a home. I mean, I moved five times in 3 years for the Missouri Army National Guard. And in the end, it was good moves, but it didn't feel that way in the moment. So I just overcame. And I wanted, like I said, to do more. Everywhere I've gone, I've always looked to how can I learn from this and grow from this and change from this. And so that's why I went from enlisted to officer, because I saw value in growing that. And I knew I had strong leadership skills and qualities in me. And then I met who is my now husband in the Army, and we got pregnant. And I was like, you know, I hear you, God, it's my time. Like I've done so much, I've grown so much, and you have bigger plans for me. And so then I got out, and now I'm, living this life of reciprocity. Gosh, that's always a hard word for me to say. of imparting and sharing and giving hope. And I think the thing about my story is, there's so much more detail that I'm just kind of like breezing by, but I never lost hope. There were times when the light was you know, barely coming in a pen needle of light, but I always turned my face towards the sun because I knew there was something bigger than me, better than me, that I could strive towards and live for. And there were times, you know, where just those three little precious lives in that season, of being a single mom, that they needed me. And I didn't want to give up hope because they needed me too. And, yeah, so I think just resilience is my story. I think it's really special, to look back and see that, you know, when I fell flat on my face at that rock bottom point, to see that when you were going through that, Carrie, I was there, and this is me, this is Jesus, like, talking to me. And when you were going through that times, I was there, and I carried you through that, and you survived that because you had that hope in you, and that hope in you was me. And, that's just my story. And I love sharing it. I love inspiring other people, who are going through hard times, because you can be on the other side of it. And I love that, other sisters come to me now and ask, like, I'm in this, how do I get out of that? And I'm not, it's funny, cause I, one time I had a soldier come ask me, she's like, I'm in this, I want a divorce. Like, how did you know it was right to get divorced? I was like, look, I don't love divorce. Like, I'm not, I believe in love, and I believe that people can overcome hard things together. So I'm not going to say, oh, he's bad and get divorced. Like, you have to answer those questions for yourself, but to be able to really get them to see, is it really that bad, or is he just annoying you? Like, or is there where you are a doormat, where he's walking all over you, where you are being controlled, or where you are being abused? Those are absolutely no reasons to stay in a relationship. And so I think through my story, I'm able to help other women navigate those murky waters.
It's a great story. And like you said, I'm sure there's more details that you haven't gone into there. But it's, I think, you know, for someone else who might have been in some of the same positions, whether it's domestic violence or, you know, teenage pregnancy or other, you know, any of the other things that you've gone through, seeing where you are now, seeing, you know, the happy, healthy home that you're living in, and all the things that you're doing for other people, how you're serving other people, is inspiring. And I thank you for sharing, you know, the little bit of your story there. And I think it emphasizes the point that sometimes you have to experience the lows to appreciate the highs. You know, I thank you for sharing that and everything that we talked about today. You know, it's really, I think, important for people to share their stories, you know, when they're ready for it, and get that information out to other people, because it not only can it heal those other people, but also can heal yourself. And so thank you again for sharing that.
Thanks. Yeah. And just, there was one lesson that I learned really early, when I became a teen mom, that I was born and raised in Idaho. So kind of, I don't want to say small-minded, but there was a council, Idaho council, had put these ads on that if you become a teen pregnant, if you are a teen pregnancy or become pregnant as a teenager, your life is over. You have these dreams. You want to be a doctor. You want to be a nurse. You want to be an astronaut, a lawyer, doc, whatever. Guess what? You can't do any of that anymore. And as a 16-year-old, the lobbying in the state capitol to say that is absolutely not true. It is a lifestyle change, absolutely. But you can still have aspirations and dreams and desires and want an education and be able to do both. Your life is not over because you've gone through something hard. But you have to battle against those people who are the naysayers. And that was something, I think, even if you could relate that to different pieces of my story, like, just because something bad happens does not mean it is the end of who you are. It is not.
No.
It is a semicolon and a part of your story, but it is not the end of your story. And I'm hoping that through all the broad stroke of sharing my story, like, that's really the lesson in it, is that it's never the end. Like, the journey is ongoing.
And I've heard the term before, you know, obviously there's post-traumatic stress disorder, but there's also post-traumatic growth. where you go through a difficult traumatic time or, you know, some other situation, and you end up finding out that you end up growing from it. Yes, it sucks at the time. It's hard. It's difficult. But if it was easy, then everyone would do it, and everyone would, you know, grow from it. You know what I mean? And then it wouldn't really be all that unique or special and valuable. You know, I would do anything to have my brother back, but you know, some of the lessons that I learned and things like that, I feel like I actually have grown from that experience of that trauma that our family went through. And I would give it all back to have him back, but I know that that's not possible. So I might as well get the benefit and see the positive that could come from it, and not waste that away, not waste his mm-hmm. his sacrifice and his memory and everything, because I was too stubborn to see the good that could come from it.
Yeah.
Well, Carrie, thank you again for joining us, being on the show, and doing what you do, you know, through your podcast, through events like the Shiro Talk event, and everything else that you've been doing. And I'm following along on, you know, Instagram on you know, what you're doing, because I'm sure there's going to be even more great things in the future. But would you tell people where they can find out more about you, the podcast, and anything else that you have going on?
Awesome. Yeah, so absolutely. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. I'm also on LinkedIn, Carrie Jeter on LinkedIn. So if you want to connect professionally, go there. But if you want to follow along what's going on, the places to find me on social media is at Freedom Sisters Podcast. And then I also have a website, www.freedomsisters.com. All things Shiro Talk is shirotalk.com. And I'm really excited. We have some really cool things coming up. So come on over, join me in the journey. And if you're a female veteran, that's my niche. All my guests are women who have served this great country. So if that's you and you want to come on and share your story, please reach out to me on any of those platforms. And I'd be happy to interview you and share your story with the world. So
that's awesome. Yeah. And so we've definitely had quite a few female guests on the show, female veterans, and you know, hopefully some of them are listening and they'll reach out to you and share their story.
Yeah, I hope.
You as well.
I just listened to one of your episodes recently too, about when she got out, she felt all alone. I can't, her name is evading my mind right now, but it was good. It was really good.
I think that was Annette Wittenberger. Was
Annette,
that the one?
Yes. Yeah. I was thinking Amy in my head, but yes, Annette. Yep. That was such a good episode.
Great. So, all right. Thank you again for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Scott. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.